This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, happy Friday, you guys. Gals, we love you. It's Ropp and Souk. Hope you're having a good one.
Hey, will you shut up?
A little rain today, but, you know, it's Oregon.
I'd say it's cleared up a little bit here, though.
It's the Northwest. It's supposed to be nice this weekend.
Tomorrow's supposed to suck.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I just looked it up. It's supposed to be 80% chance of rain, heavy rain most of the day.
So much for Rob being like, God, it's supposed to be nice.
I thought it was supposed to be great.
Lion sack.
Last time I looked at the weather app on my iPhone that I bought.
Sunday, Monday, supposed to be a little better, although there's some rain on Monday as well.
Yeah, Saturday looks like a real pile of crap, according to mine.
Saturday, rain. Chance of rain, 80%. Rainfall around a quarter of an inch.
What are you guys doing for the holiday?
I got nothing going on.
I got no plans.
Really?
Nah.
Wow.
Why? You got something? Like,
very big.
You trying to invite us, or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, not at all.
Well, then nothing's going on.
I don't really want anything going on,
really?
To be honest with you.
You like it this way?
Yeah, I'm we went on a spring break trip, and then I'm going in a couple weeks. I'm going back to Cape Cod, so it's kind of like a lay low, let's not do anything sort of thing. I like laying around on a long weekend. I mean, there'll probably be a movie or something, maybe play some golf, but there's something great about a 3-day weekend where you don't really have to do anything.
Isn't it rejuvenating?
It is rejuvenating.
Because Sunday feels like Sunday, and then you realize, oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I've got tomorrow.
Yeah. And if it's nice, you can go out and do something, but I don't want to go anywhere. Plus, they're saying that like the travel is going to be a nightmare. Like the airports are supposed to be swamped. The freeways are going to be all screwed up.
Everybody gets out there, man.
Now I'm putting my ass on the couch.
So we bifurcated.
Bifurcate.
And we trifurcated.
Yeah. Trifurcate.
Do you think we can ever get to octocating?
Breaking it up into eight separate?
So someone texted, don't forget quadricate, which we talked about.
Yeah, I quadricate all the time with football.
And then you can also quinticate?
Is that six?
But you really don't want to sexticate or septicate.
What if I do want to sexticate?
But if you octocate, that's what we're talking about.
What if you go home and sexticate? You go home to the missus and be like, honey. Little sexticate tonight.
Now,
does that mean you're splitting it into six different parts?
What? What? So I have a confession to make.
Is that really that hard to understand? Or?
A sports confession.
What do you got?
I love watching softball on television.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh.
Why? I mean, of course there's nothing wrong with that. Why would there be something wrong with that?
Well, like,
when you confess something, usually there's a little bit of guilt to it.
Yeah, usually.
Right. Maybe I shouldn't have used that word.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm not like ashamed of this by any means.
No.
I'm just telling you. It's not a confessional. It's like a. I'm just telling you that that's something that you may not know. I love watching softball on TV.
Sure, I've proclaimed my love for softball, although it's getting harder the older I get.
Wait, you're now one-upping me saying you have already professed your love
for
watching
last
softball
year?
Yeah, multiple times, but I've said that it's getting harder. I know you pay no attention. You think Mike doesn't pay attention. I said that I love watching softball, but the older I get, the harder it gets because I feel...
What are you saying?
I feel like a dirty old man when I watch softball because the only softball is college softball. And those girls are younger than my daughter now.
Yeah.
My daughter's a college graduate. And now, where it used to just be like, hey, I was just a creepy dude like watching softball. And I like softball players. Now it's I'm creepy 40-year-old guy watching girls that are my daughter's age. And it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable.
I think it was the Oregon shortstop last year that I got enamored with, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore. This is weird.
I mean, they're cute, you know?
Yeah, I know, but...
I mean, it's not like you're, you know, hitting on them or anything. It's just you're just enjoying their abilities.
For right now, I very much could be enjoying what LSU has going on the mound. Plus, I just... if I had to watch a women's sport, just one, I would pick softball. To me, it is the most entertaining of the female sports.
I'm picking tennis. I like women's tennis.
Well, for me, it's golf, but tennis is great. And softball, I think what it is about softball, I've been trying to figure out.
Is that it's baseball and you love baseball?
Well, no, maybe that's part of it. But I just think it's so much different than baseball and actually more entertaining because of the field being so small. Yeah. I think that there's something about it being so condensed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only 60 feet, I think, to run to first. And obviously the pitcher's mound to the batter's to the plate is shorter. And so the pitchers are amazing to watch, first of all. But when the ball is put in play, so much can happen.
Yeah.
In baseball, I feel like, when the ball is put in play with the big leaguers, they're so good that it's pretty predictable. Like, you get a ground ball to the shortstop, guess what's going to happen?
But yeah,
the guy's going to get thrown out.
I do think it's weird that if you hit a ground ball to the shortstop, you're probably going to get a single in softball.
That's the point.
I think it's exciting.
Exactly. That's the whole point. It's like, she could beat that.
And it seems very violent to me when the pitcher's on the mound and you're getting ready with the windup. It seems like such a violent motion. I don't know why, but it captures my eye. I'm with you. I think college softball is great. I wish there was was it Jenny Finch? And then was it like Lisa Hernandez, like the U.S. women's team? Like, I wish some of those games would be on. Like, if there was a women's softball league, I would be inclined to watch that.
There is a women's pro softball league.
Yeah,
and apparently, what were you going to say?
But it's not like on TV ever.
Oh, I don't know if it's on TV, but apparently it's really freaking good. Like, yeah. I mean, obviously it's the best softball players. And so it's, I don't know.
Whatever's on I'd during the Olympics, I thought that was must watch TV.
I'd watch it too. It's just that, I mean, you know, you got something when Major League Baseball players marvel at the softball players.
Yeah.
Like some of those guys, you know, talk about these pitchers. It's just like, holy crap. It's different. But it's awesome.
Well, and we've seen it before where some of the best pitchers will go and, you know, they'll strike out in the major league hitters. Now, eventually, if they saw that enough, they would make adjustments to it. But, I mean, some of the stuff that they throw,
you know, they need to
the short distance, because they say, like these girls throw like 70 miles an hour or 75, whatever it is. But they say that if you adjust for the distance, that's like throwing in the high 90s and then all the movement they put on the ball.
They need to just do like a WMLB.
I would much rather watch that. Like, no offense
but it's softball, not baseball, but it's softball, and it's subsidized by MLB, and play it that way. Because whatever pro league is out there right now, it may be great. It has no traction.
Yes.
None. And then that way, if it's WMLB, then it'll get on TV.
Well, and no offense to the WNBA, because some of those players are amazing too. I just find women's basketball hard to watch. And it's not that they're not skilled and they're not, you know, really talented. I just don't find that pleasing to my eye. When you compare it to the men's game, I don't like watching it. Whereas women's softball, even though it's a different game, if you still compare it to Major League Baseball, in some ways I find the game of softball to be more enjoyable. I think the action is better. And that maybe go along the line of women's tennis. I think women's tennis can actually be better than men's because the men's game is so power-based that – you know, it's a lot of serve and volley, whereas some of the women's game, you get more of the rallies. You can get stuff that goes back and forth.
And let's be honest, these nice college tight uniforms they've got on out there.
It certainly helps.
You know,
I'm trying not to leer at what LSU has going on right now, but.
So that pitcher,
number
right
six
there,
is.
You're not looking at her number.
No. Well, I just did, number six.
You glanced up.
I did. I glanced up. Yes, it's good.
It's pretty hot.
But again, it makes me feel like a dirty old man.
Well, you need to get over that, because guess what? You are.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like, why are you in denial?
Like, I can't even bring myself to watch track and field. Like, that's right out. Like, it's college track and field. I can't even, you got to keep me away from it. Because that's like, that's even better than women's softball.
Because of the unis?
Yeah, the track and field gals. That's top shelf for me.
And you can't watch it?
No, it's just,
man,
it's bad.
You got issues.
Yeah.
I love it.
I have not
my binoculars.
I have not embraced my dirty old manness quite the way you have.
Well, I'm just out there watching my kid.
You don't at all feel like sleazy. You're like, oh man.
Not really, no.
Yeah, because it hits me. It's that I can't be watching something and like I can't control that thought popping into my head. And then again, younger than my daughter.
What thought would that be? Describe it.
I like the hurdles in the pole vaulting.
The hurdle. Oh, yeah. What about gymnastics?
See, gymnastics, not so much, because they're all like, one, they're like 14.
They're very young.
And
yeah.
They're like,
that's a different animal.
Yeah. It's
how dare we?
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, but those tennis players are really young too, though. I mean, tennis is a young, like, I feel like, I mean, the Roger Federer's aside.
Yeah.
I feel like you're done in tennis at 25.
Yeah, at least, but in gymnastics, you're done at like 14.
That's true.
You're 14, you're 18, you're like, yeah, you're a little old. It's time to move on.
All right. Well, it wasn't much of a like a confessional, but
no.
It was I just wanted to point out softball's great on TV, and that is one of the top women's sports to watch.
I 100% agree with you.
And Major League Baseball should subsidize a WMLB.
That would be fun.
And it would be the WMLS. But then people would confuse it with soccer. So,
oh, yeah, Major League Softball.
So I don't know what we do. Maybe WSOFT. I don't know. But they can figure it out.
But if you actually kept the teams, the Yankees, Mets.
Yes.
You know, that'd be great.
It would be like, awesome.
The Lady Mets or the Lady Yankees.
All right. Oh, do we have time to get to the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium story? Probably not. We'll probably have to do that next hour. So coming up next, I will tell you a baseball oddity story.
Okay, I'm ready for an oddity.
It is a bit of an oddity, and we'll get to it when we return here, folks. It is 4:15. This is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, we'll talk about the Rays stadium situation down in Tampa. Jason Stark did a good look at that. We'll also discuss the East Finals, where Kawhi Leonard and my Toronto Raptors are now up 3-2 on the Milwaukee Bucks. And in the news is coming up next, but I have two baseball oddities for you.
Let's get odd.
This is the first time this has ever happened, which I think is cute. And it is that the sons of Hall of Famers are Major League Baseball teammates. That has never happened.
Okay.
And that is because the Toronto Blue Jays just called up Kevon Biggio.
Oh, see, I did not know that. I assumed it would be Toronto because of Vlad Jr., but Biggio's kid's up, huh?
Yep, they just called him up. And
what's his name?
Kevon.
It's Kevon, C-A-V-A-N is what they named him. And Vlad Guerrero Jr., yeah, so they'll be the first sons of Hall of Famers as MLB teammates. Kevon Biggio is the 9th-rated prospect in the Blue Jays system.
Didn't they also call up another former major leaguer son today with Biggio?
I don't know that.
Okay.
But if they did, he wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Biggio needs to get on some of his dad's vitamin S. He is a skinny little thing.
And the second oddity is a pitcher by the name of Edwin Jackson. Do you know who this is?
Edwin Jackson.
Ooh. He's a journeyman.
Some would call him a journeyman, or as Mike would say, a journeyman.
Journeyman.
No, I'm not familiar.
You're just like on a journeyman.
I am not familiar with Edwin Jackson.
He's a pitcher, and he took the hill for Toronto the other day, and that would, again, be those pesky Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Although they're not very good this year. And when he took the hill for them, they became his 14th team in 16 years.
Is he the new Reggie Sanders?
Well, I think he's blown Reggie Sanders out of the water, has he not?
I'm sure he has. Reggie Sanders is the guy. When I just think of someone that played for a lot of teams, I don't know why, but Reggie Sanders' name always pops into my head.
14 teams in 16 years.
Good Lord.
He's been traded 6 times. And so I just wonder how this happens. Like, part of it is he's a lefty, and lefty starters, you know.
Is he any good?
Well, the answer to that is clearly no.
Debatable.
He's played on 14 teams. I mean,
he's good enough.
But here's the thing.
Someone keeps him around for...
Well, that's my question is, why him and not, like, I don't know, Aaron Harang or Brett Tomko or Jeff Supon?
So you're just good enough to hang around but not good enough for anyone to want to keep you.
Well, he's...
But obviously you're still good enough because someone else wants you because you keep getting traded.
Or he just continues to suck everywhere. There's something about him that people fall in love with. Now...
And he's a starter.
He's a starting pitcher. Yeah, he's a little like Sam Bradford. You know the whole
Sam
Bradford
thing? He's not that bad.
No, he's not, but he's not good either. You remember the Sam Bradford theory that Trent Dofer threw at us? Because we kept asking, like, what is it about Sam Bradford? Sam Bradford's not that good.
No.
But, like, to Mike's point, Sam Bradford's not that bad either, right? It's just that there's something about him. He's got good stuff, so you just can't believe he's not better than he is, so he keeps getting chances.
I'm looking here.
That's what it is.
He's 104 and 124, and he's got a 4.61 ERA.
And he's been an all-star one time.
Yeah, and, like, there's a couple years... You look here where he'll have an ERA right around 3, or 1 year he had a 2.92.
He's been in the league 16 years.
He shows flashes. Maybe he just needs a little more time to develop.
What team was he the best on?
I'm looking here.
Detroit.
Atlanta.
I think the Atlanta year was where he had the 2.92.
Look at that pull.
But he was an all-star in Detroit.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking here. So in 2015 for the Braves, he went 2-2, and he had a 2.92 ERA. In 24 games.
Oh, was he starting or is he out of the bullpen?
I'm assuming out of the bullpen. Yeah, he went out of the bullpen. He had no game started. So he's done both.
Look at his season in Detroit.
What year would have that been?
Would have that been 19? Let's see.
09?
Yeah. That.
He was 1909.
That would have been 1909. Yeah.
He was an all-star? Okay, so
that would have been B.
Yeah, so 2009, he went 13-9 with a 3.62 ERA.
Yeah.
And he had 33 starts.
The era has become.
Pitched over 200 innings. There's a couple. I mean, he eats some innings.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's just, and the thing about him is when he was 19, he was a hot prospect. He came up with the Dodgers, but he just never did much. And then they dealt him to Tampa Bay, and ever since he's been going from team to team every year. I mean, 14 teams in 16 years is unbelievable.
Let's play the fun game of total salary. So
he's accumulated?
He is accumulated over his 17 seasons.
Well, I think he's gotten paid a few times in terms of, I think he's got pretty good contracts a few at least once, if not twice. So I'm going to go.
I'm going to go 30 mil.
So 16 years. Probably 45 million.
$66 million.
So Rob was right.
That he's brought in. It's a hell of a run.
It's a lot of moving.
That is a lot of moving.
Did you back out his moving expenses?
Well, I'm guessing that he does not. But I'm guessing he owns a place in Arizona and Florida.
What if he has a place in all 14 cities?
And I'm guessing there's a lot of rentals or extended stay Americas.
Again, we're talking about Edwin Jackson, who's a pitcher who is pitching for Toronto now, and it's his 14th team in 16 years. And here's another little oddity about it.
Well, it'd be 17. This is his 17th season.
17th year, okay.
Yeah.
He will have faced Andrew McCutchen on 8 different teams.
I wonder if people like if this is like a known thing and people give him a hard time for it. I mean, you've been around that long. I mean, everybody knows you at that point.
Well, you think well, I don't know. Some of those players, you think McCutchen, like some of those young guys are like, who's this old dude?
Like, what the hell?
But you think McCutchen's like, McCutchen goes up there with Philly, sees, you know, let's say Philly plays Toronto in an interleague series, and McCutchen gets up there. He's like, oh, my God, you again?
So what the hell?
Now for Toronto?
What is the record for most?
I don't know.
Edwin Jackson, for pitchers at least.
This is the most?
These big leaguers played for the most teams. Edwin Jackson, 14.
Yeah, that is.
Octavio Dotel, 13.
Oh, Dotel.
Yeah.
So Mike Toronto, Morgan, 12.
He played for the Mets for a while. Matt Stairs played for
12. Matt Stairs is the hitter, 12.
Well, here's the thing about Edwin Jackson. He's only 35. If he can find, like, some Jamie Moyer salad
and keep playing,
the Mariners will pick him up. That'll be 15.
Here's a blast from the past name. Ron Valone. Remember him?
I remember Ron Valone.
Yeah. How about Bruce Chen?
Yeah. Did he play for a lot of teams? Royals had
11.
Him.
11.
Miguel Batista, 11.
I'm trying to see.
He won a World Series with the Diamondbacks.
Like, how many did maybe Reggie Sanders didn't play for that many?
He played for 8. I looked it up before.
I just always think of him bouncing around.
Rodney's bounced around a lot.
Todd Zeal, 11.
Fernando Rodney.
I once had like 17 different Todd Zeal rookie cards. I don't know why,
but Todd Zeal was the man.
Like, I just remember Todd Zeal was going to be a big deal. Todd Zeal and Greg Jeffries. I stacked up on those rookie cards thinking that was going to be my retirement.
Jose Guillen, 10. He played for everybody.
Yeah. And then who's the Jose Lima? I think pitched for a lot of teams.
Tomko was a good pull. He played for 10 as well.
Bartolo Colon had 11. Trying to think, like, Orozco.
LaTroy Hawkins, 11.
Orozco didn't necessarily play for that many, but I think Orozco pitched until he was 48, maybe 47.
I had no idea Bruce Chen was in the majors in 1998. That's crazy.
Whoa. Well, there's your baseball oddity stories for the day.
I kind of enjoyed that. Thank you.
You know what, Jace? You're welcome.
I did not know about the great Edwin Jackson, or should I say the very mediocre Edwin Jackson.
Soon to be Kansas City Royal Edwin Jackson.
Hey, the Mets could use him.
All right. Coming up next, it is time for In the News, where we will discuss the University of Oregon's very controversial decision. And we will also discuss Portland slipping in population growth. That was a sound effect.
I moved on to eating yogurt. We're supposed to break.
Yeah, I'm going to break. I got you. You need to tell me you're eating yogurt. I can see that.
I'm eating a Chobani flip right now. It's quite delicious.
I got you over here.
Which flavor?
Salted caramel crunch.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's good.
The peach cobbler is my favorite.
Mike got me hooked on the Chobani flips.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, they're tasty.
Try the peach cobbler if you haven't.
Oh, I have.
Because it's got the stuff on the side, right? And then you put it into the yogurt.
You mix it in there.
Delicious. All right, here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Rays ballpark situation. Interesting look at that from Jason Stark. Sign up for our golf tournament, 1080thefan.com. You can buy foursome, $600, split that among four guys, and you get an amazing bang for your buck, including $50 pro shop credit on the day of the event. We've only got one shotgun start left for you guys. The afternoons are sold out, but Monday, June 24th at 7:30 a.m., there's a shotgun with some spots left, so you can check out all the details and buy your foursome online at 1080thefan.com. It's presented by Cooney Lexus of Portland, and we'll be out at Langdon Farms.
And you get all your food, you get a couple drink tickets, and believe me, there's plenty of other beverages to be had out on the course.
We'll be there.
Yes. The shows will be there.
Are we going to broadcast again this year? What are we doing?
We're trying to, because the other shows don't have to, but the boss has always made us. But I think we're working on it. But my guess is we'll be broadcasting.
I think we need to bring some protesters out there.
Yeah, demand us out on the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Picket signs and
make it happen, boss.
All right, it is May 24th, 2019. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is Brother's Day.
Oh, there you go.
So who do I celebrate, you or your brother?
Well, I think you celebrate your brother.
Or do I celebrate me? Because I'm a brother.
No, you don't celebrate you. You celebrate your brother.
I'm going to celebrate my brother and your brother.
Nice play, nurse.
But not you. It is also National Title Track Day.
I don't know what that means.
Well, like title track to a, you know, like the album, the top single is the name of the album.
Okay.
You know?
But that's not always the case.
What do you mean?
Well,
it doesn't have to be the top single. Just any song that's named the same name as the album is called the title track.
It's the title track, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. But a lot of albums, the title isn't one of the songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's why a title track is this. There's a song on the album that's the same name as the album.
Master of Puppets.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Purple Rain.
I mean, there's
there's a ton of them.
There's a thousand of
those. Well, Thriller is probably the best one. The best title track ever, Thriller. Or Footloose.
Footloose. Everybody cut a Footloose. Yeah, Thriller is the biggest one. I think Thriller is still the biggest album of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can. I mean, how do you top that?
No one will ever top Thriller because no one buys albums anymore.
Maybe Imagine. That was a title track.
Was that the...
Lennon?
Yeah, that's... It's weird that... I'm too old for that. I only know John... John
Allen. You're too young.
John Lennon in snippets. I don't know him in albums. I don't think I've ever owned a John Lennon album. Like Dylan, I guess Dylan maybe a little bit, but I've had like Blood on the Tracks, like I've had Bob Dylan albums. I don't think I've ever owned a John Lennon album. Just have listened to singles.
Rose Festival kicks off today, you guys. Fireworks tonight.
Ooh.
9:50 sharp.
I'm not a big I'm not a big Rose Festival guy.
Never been.
You've never been?
Nope.
That's a bit surprising.
I've never been to it.
Huh. That's just the groups of people sometimes, like large groups can kind of give me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like big, huge crowds. You got to deal with all that and parking, but you know, couple times I've been with the kids, it's a fun time.
Well, the kids love it.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. You got to keep the kids happy.
I think it's supposed to start raining, though. The AccuWeather has like 5 or 6. I think it's supposed to start dumping again. So bring an umbrella, you know, just be prepared. Maybe a poncho or a slicker.
We do have a 3-day weekend. What they say is going to kick off the busiest travel summer ever.
Yeah. So they're just saying, just be prepared.
All time.
The roads are going to be jammed. The airports are going to be jammed. Everyone's taking to the travel bug.
Everyone is, except you, me, and Mike. The whole show is staying put.
Yeah.
Well, doing nothing.
I feel like when you've got the 3-day weekend and you know that it's going to be jam-packed, one, they're going to gouge you for everything, right? The airline, it's going to be expensive. Hotels are going to be expensive. You're going to fight traffic. You're going to deal with the airport. And it's not like 3 days is a real long time. And you're going to get back from that, and you're going to feel worse than when you went on vacation. That's not relaxing. That's a bit of a grind to do that. I feel like in order to properly vacation, you need a minimum 5 days.
Well, a good 3-day weekend is also a good time to pretend it's a little mini staycation.
Yes.
Very relaxing. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Portland has slipped into the bottom half of U.S. cities in population growth.
Good.
How about that?
It's a positive sign, right? Maybe the prices will start to dip a little bit?
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, look at you laughing at your own commentary.
The thing is, like, right, you can't live anywhere in Portland. It's a freaking arm and a leg. And you see all the time that there's all these, like, condos and, like, high-end stuff that are just sitting there empty. So you would think eventually, right, the price has to fall?
Well, there's fewer people moving here. That we know, and that should lead to some prices falling, you would think, if that continues. But who knows? But the jobs are certainly drying up.
I don't know
And that, I think, is a big reason why people aren't moving here. I think that when you get cities like Nashville and cities like Portland that have just been popping, there's others, Austin, for so long, I think the word gets out. It's like, man, I want to go there. Those are great places to live, but I can't find work.
Well, and either you can't, and if you can't find work or you can't find good work, again, how the hell can you live here?
That's what I mean. That's why I think it's dipping.
A couple years ago when we were moving from the center and I was looking at moving over by the station, I just am like, who are these people? Who's like $750,000 for a fixer-upper? Yeah, I'm on board. It blew my hair back. And that was a couple years ago.
You don't have
ago.
Hair even.
No,
that's,
I don't.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's why I went bald. It's whatever I had.
So
decided to leave.
The new numbers are, now these are from 2017-18, but we only rank 56 in growth out of the top 100 cities with the biggest populations. Portland grew by, this is just Portland proper now, grew by 4,500 people in that year, which is just 0.7%. And that is down from almost 2% the prior year. And I doubt this counts campers, because if it did, we would be up 875%.
Does that count the urban campers as well? The homeless population?
Hey, we've got...
I thought they were taken to the seas. I thought we were going to put them on the homeless barge.
I don't think people are ready for that idea yet.
Look, I'm telling you, when the mayor's ready, come talk to us, because we've got ideas. Bum voyage. That's still one of my favorite things that has ever happened on this program. The homeless taken to the high seas.
University of Oregon is going to raise in-state tuition next year.
Of course they are.
And they are saying they're going to raise it by as much as 9.68%.
Now, what is in-state tuition? I know this is going to be a kick in the jiblies, but how bad is this?
In-state tuition right now in Eugene is roughly $9,800.
Okay. for a year.
Yes.
That's
pretty good.
That's pretty good. I know that sucks if you're raising it by a grand, but that still ain't bad. Because what are you paying for meat out there in Kansas?
Well, so I don't. Room and board and tuition are all together.
Yeah.
So what I just quoted you is just tuition.
Just tuition.
But I would say that what we're paying, and he's got a scholarship, but what we're paying for out-of-state tuition, including tuition, room and board, and everything, is probably double what we would pay if he went to the University of Oregon in-state. Well, if he went to Oregon in-state.
I mean, to me, $9,800 bucks for a year, that's a pretty good deal.
So tack on another 1,000 maybe?
Yeah.
If they raise it by up to 10%. Now, the Board of Trustees there voted 11-1 in favor despite major opposition from basically everyone.
Hey, Mario Cristobal needs a raise. Come on.
including protesters who are out there protesting this. They say the increase will be between 4.5% and 9.5% depending on how much the state gives them. So a lot of people are upset about that, but what are you going to do?
Well,
not go to college.
Yeah, I guess.
Go to Oregon State.
Go to a trade school. Learn to be a welder.
Oregon State's a little cheaper than Oregon, but I think it's pretty close.
Could be worse. It could be Syracuse, which is up to $70,000 now.
For, wait, what?
Excuse me? 70.
In-state?
Yeah. Well, it's private.
It's private.
Oh.
$70,000 a year? What was it when you went there?
50.
Hot damn.
Well, did you have to pay for it?
Nope.
Well, it's like Reed. Reed College is 60, 50 to 60?
Something like that.
The guy
that I went to the Blazer game with, he was in town because his daughter was graduating from Reed.
From Reed?
And we were talking about that.
Oh, I bet.
Because she spent an extra year. She was there 5 years.
Damn.
You're like,
that's 250 G's, bro.
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
If you paid for it.
I reminded him of it multiple times as we sat there watching the Blazer game.
I saw a study today, and it was along the lines of this in-state tuition thing. I was doing some homework, and they said that it ranked all the Oregon universities in terms of bang for your buck.
Yeah.
And you know what number one was?
What?
Reed. Because, and it's, so yes, it's more expensive, but the level of education, it's like considered one of the best universities in the country.
Yeah.
The best colleges in the country. And what you get out of it is, they say, is the best value for your money that you could spend at any university in Oregon. Mm. They ranked like...
It's 51. I looked it up. It's 51,000 just for the tuition.
50, yeah.
50. Well, 52,000 basically for just the tuition. That doesn't include room and board. Maya, the guy that I went with that his daughter graduated there...
But you don't have to pay for shampoo or soap or anything.
Fine arts.
No way.
Yeah.
How does he feel about that?
It's like, wow. Yeah.
How does he feel about that?
I don't think he was particularly thrilled about it, but... What are you gonna do?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, man.
Fine arts. 52 grand a year just for tuition.
Well, I guess if you got the dough.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
You know.
I'm just looking here. Syracuse tuition is 48.7. Housing and meals 16,000. Miscellaneous fees 1,000.
You know what always ranks in the top 3 or 4 in the country for best value of college?
Don't say it.
It's there every single year. Some years it's number one.
BYU.
Brigham Young University.
Really?
$5,300 bucks.
But they get you. But you can't have sex or anything.
$5,000 a year.
Really?
Yep. One of the harder schools to get into as well because it's $5,000 a year for a really good education.
So where do all the Mormons go that don't get into the BYU?
They've now branched off. They have BYU Idaho, BYU Hawaii, and I think there's another one. So
they tend to go there, or do they stay in Utah? Like,
no.
Who gets the BYU runoff?
That's BYU Idaho.
No, but I'm saying in Utah.
Oh, they have like a UVSC, which is like Utah Valley State.
A lot of Mormons are at University of Utah though, too.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, but
Utah State probably.
BYU is really, really cutthroat to get into. They have an acceptance rate a lot of times, kind of like some of the Ivy League schools, just because it's a good education. Now it's a bit of a Nazi reign on top of that, but. I mean, think about that, though. You get a really good education, $5,000 a year. It's
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I just don't. I mean, the guidelines are.
Yeah, it's tough. But, you know, if you're from that walk of life.
Yeah.
You can't beat $5,000 a year. And then there's a lot of foreign students that want to come here from overseas because, again, $5,000 a year.
It's cheap.
again, if you're going to put all the rules on it, it can't be expensive. You're like, hey, there's no booze, there's no sex, there's none of that, and it's going to be really, really expensive. Yeah, it doesn't work. You got to find a way to undercut the competition.
All right, how about this dad bro who stole his daughter's Girl Scout money? Can we talk about that guy?
Yeah.
We haven't talked about him yet.
I did when you guys were gone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That okay. was my, that's what I led in the news with.
Yeah, good. That's a good lead because.
For an erotic massage. My point is $700 for an erotic massage. This guy got ripped off.
Well, I think he got multiple.
I was going to say, for $700.
I just don't understand why he didn't just take the money. Why do you have to stage this big? It's your daughter.
Well, because you have to give that money to the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, but you can just tell the Girl Scouts, like, blame it on your daughter.
You either have to have the cookies or the money. The Girl Scouts don't screw around.
Well, yeah, but guess who else doesn't screw around? The police.
Yeah, you got busted.
Let's talk about this coming up next. It is 447 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5-5 is moments away. I know you cannot wait for that. Got some Rays stadium talk coming up. But this is in the news for May 24, 2019. Now, I know you talked about this on Monday, but the dad bro who stole his daughter's Girl Scout money to get a Robert Kraft was sentenced. And what did they give him? They gave him 80 hours community service. He gets 18 months probation. He has to pay restitution, which they'll figure out the amount later, and he has a $100 fine, which is weird, but...
Yeah, the day it happened, I was talking about the story, and there were two or three people that chimed in that said they knew the guy that worked with him, and they said he was a really nice guy. In fact, there was another one right now on the Betty Today text line that said, I used to work with Brian, friendly guy, not sure what the blank he was thinking or how he thought this would end any other way. Yeah, there was a couple people that were like, dude, I know this guy is a good dude. But he stole Girl Scout money to go get a Robert Kraft. And by the way, a really expensive Robert Kraft.
So he took $740.
Yeah.
Which, can we talk about how badass his daughter is at selling Girl Scout cookies? That feels like a lot.
Well, how many?
Or is that not?
Let me ask, how many? Aren't Girl Scout cookies like 10 bucks a box?
I thought they were less than that.
I'm going to look this up.
A lot of sales. Anyway, she had the money there in the house.
Yeah, but you got to turn that money over.
No, I know, but my point is, look, if you're going to steal the money, aren't you in less trouble with the Girl Scouts than you are the police by making up some cockamamie story? I mean,
yes.
the guy just got cuffed and stuffed for this. Whereas, what are the Girl Scouts going to do? Like, if you go to the Girl Scouts and say, oh my God, my daughter lost that money. I am so sorry. You know, I don't have the money to pay you back. You know, what are you going to do?
Do they come at you like their little fists of fury?
Yeah, what are they going to do to you?
Like break your thumbs?
Like, look, this is a really horrible mistake, but my daughter, my poor little beautiful daughter, lost the $740. I don't know what to do. What can we do?
They're $4 a box, so she sold about 185 boxes of cookies. Because there are a couple that are a 100 little...
100 and what?
184.
That's pretty damn good, man.
Yeah, she's out there busting her ass.
She's a bulldog.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Well, so is this guy, apparently.
Am I crazy about this? Like, instead, the guy... His 40-year-old dude calls the police and says somebody broke into his house and took the money. And he went as far as to like...
He beat himself up.
He beat himself up, gave himself a black eye, and he put blood everywhere. Like, what a effing idiot.
Like, is there not a better way to earn some money for a rub and tug? By the way, like, Robert Kraft paid like $150. I think he's just going to the wrong... I think he got swindled. He should call, file a police report on the erotic massage place for charging him 700 and whatever bucks.
Yeah, I guarantee he got more than one.
It was like a slush fund of erotic massages?
Guaranteed, because they don't cost that much. Don't ask me how I know that. But I just think this is so, like, I mean, it's just beyond dumb. Because seriously, the Girl Scouts, this has to have happened before where there's a little girl who
sells cookies
and loses the money, or somebody steals it, or... Sure. What do they do? They don't arrest you.
No, I wouldn't think so. Someone help me out. If you've got like a daughter.
Yeah, what has happened?
If you're up in the Girl Scouts, because I'm with you. There's got to be bad parents or like a crappy uncle or a dirtbag brother. I'm sure that there's been cookie money that goes missing. It has to be.
There's got to be dirty cookie money somewhere.
Has to be dirty cookie money, right? And I can't imagine the Girl Scouts try to make it like a... Do they really call the cops on you over $300-$400 worth of cookies?
Well, $740, but
I know, but I'm saying
no, they won't.
I think this may be a bit much,
especially if you just lie.
Let's say on average, let's just say $300-$400 goes missing.
Yeah,
I doubt that the Girl Scouts are making a giant federal case out of that.
Right. So that's all he had to do was just blame his daughter. Parents do this all the time. Blame your trump up some charges about your kids.
It's all about the trumped up charges with the kids. Like if you're in trouble as a parent, isn't that like the standard like go to? Oh yeah, it's my kids.
Yeah, dumb kids. Listen, I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry my kids were doing that. I don't know what to do. You know what? I'll deal with it at home.
Instead,
I can assure you.
Or maybe he's a great father and he's like, you know what? I can't blame her. I'm gonna make up this really really bad story and call the cops and hopefully get away with it.
His daughter took the $740 and like bought meth with it. She's out there having a weed spree. And he doesn't want to throw the daughter under the bus.
All right. I think that's all we have time for today. That's all we have time for today, guys. That's it. It's over.
Now, I will tell you that my dad...
No more in the news.
My dad was the president of Clark County Youth Football for a number of years.
What a horrible job.
It was his volunteer. I don't know why he did it. Dude. But we would sell beef jerky. It was our fundraiser. We would sell the Papa Don's beef jerky. I can't tell you, A, how many sticks of Papa Don's beef jerky that I stole. And then at the end of the year, we would end up with a bunch of surplus. And then I would go sell that on my own and keep it. Like, we would just end up with boxes and boxes of it, like, out in our garage. And I would take it to school and I would sell it. And then that money was mine. And I don't know.
No one cared.
If that was necessarily fraud or not, because it was just leftover beef jerky. But... it was always a nice little way to make a couple bucks.
And this texter's right. This guy, this dad bro,
yeah,
he should have just performed his own internal investigation.
Yes.
And then cleared himself.
Looked into the university's dealings and found nothing but integrity.
I have looked at this, and I have found nothing wrong. I don't know what happened to that money.
No,
I'm so sorry.
You. My integrity is through the roof. That's what I found.
All right, that's in the news for May 24th, 2019. Coming up next, we've got the Hot 5 at 5. And it includes Neil Olshay news next on The Fan.
Bro.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.